Every church is doing that drama this week. It's just the way it goes. Oh my goodness. Whew. Well, one of the fondest and most powerful memories that I have in my life, one of those most powerful experiences, happened when I was 18. I've always liked motorcycles, and as a little boy, I would sit on my father's motorcycle in the garage and just dream of the day that I would get to ride. And when I turned 17, I got a motorcycle, and I got into dirt bikes right away. And when I turned 18, I bought a Honda XR 600, which is a dirt bike, very powerful dirt bike. And I was really didn't have a lot of time to or places I could ride it where I lived. So I looked forward to a trip that I had planned to West Virginia, where my grandparents lived. And I knew West Virginia pretty well, that area, but not great, but I knew it pretty well. And I was going to take my dirt bike down there and go on an awesome motorcycle ride down there. So I talked to my buddy Mark Perry when I got down there, and I said, hey, where's the best place to ride? And he said, hey, Drew, you want to go up Bob's Ridge. You take Bob's Ridge, and you're going to find everything you're looking for riding a motorcycle up there. You take machinery, and you go up there. And after realizing I didn't understand what he said outside of Bob's Ridge, I knew the way to get to the start of Bob's Ridge. So I got up about 9 o'clock one morning and had one of those terrific extra high-fat breakfasts that my grandmother loves to give us with biscuits and gravy and a whole nine yards. And I fired up my XR 600, and off I went. I went past tall oaks, and I made a turn at Blue Bend. I went down Big Draft, and I knew I was getting close to where Mark Perry wanted me to pick up the trail where I would get to the top of Bob's Ridge. And the motorcycle was running perfect. Everything was great. Lots of power, held to the street like it was supposed to, but I couldn't wait to throw it into the gravel and start heading up Bob's Ridge. And I went further and further down Big Draft, and I saw a trail. Threw the motorcycle over to the trail, and it grabbed the dirt and started heading up this big, steep trail that was heading up the side of the ridge. And I gave it full throttle, and the back tire was spinning and throwing rocks, and I was laying on the handlebars, and the thing was fighting to come up, and I was having the ride of my life. And I took it to the top of the hill, and I slid around the corner and slid the back end just like I was supposed to, and I kept going, and I saw a little bit of a grade right before a clearing. So I went up that grade, and I launched it into the air, and I landed in the most beautiful apple orchard I had ever seen. On top of Bob's Ridge. I said, wow. At this point, I was tired because I'd been riding a good 6 or 7 minutes. And I said, whoo, time to rest that horse. And so I put the kickstand down, and I looked over, and the apples were in full bloom, and I just started pulling down green apples, the most delicious apples that you could ever get, because they were free. And I just laid there on top of this mountain in this beautiful apple orchard by myself, laying in the grass, watching the sky go by, just taking it all in. Looking at my motorcycle that was so different from nature, but to me just as awesomely beautiful. Watching the clouds go by, thinking about how this whole thing just stays where it's supposed to stay. That there's an atmosphere that contains the whole thing. That this planet is spinning perfectly. That the oxygen and nitrogen and all is mixed perfectly so that I can breathe it. And I just laid there. And I pondered the big philosophical questions in life. Questions like, where did all this come from? Is there more out there beyond this heaven that I can see? I asked questions like, who am I? And why am I here on this earth? Is there a purpose to life more than sliding a motorcycle and going for a cool ride? Is there a God that actually put all this together? And if there is, does he want to know anything about me? And can I know anything about him? Can we connect? What's going to happen after I die? Well, with all of the differing opinions out there, is there a right and is there a wrong in every situation? And if there is a right and wrong, who decides it? Who gets to say, this is right and this is wrong? Now, just in case you thought us motorcyclists were shallow, now you know that we get very deep on our rides, especially when we go on our motorcycle trip in the summer every year. And I do not subscribe to the idea that you have to be a deep thinker to ponder and wrestle with such big questions in life. I believe we all think about the big questions in life at some point or another, and that we want answers to life's big questions. And I also believe that how you answer life's big questions have shaped and will continue to shape the health and the wellness of the life you are living. Let me say that one more time. How you answer life's big questions have shaped and they will shape the health and wellness of the life you are living. So over the next few weeks, we are going to tackle those big questions. Now, don't think for a second that these questions are easy to solve. And don't think that the answers to them are going to be simple or uncomplex. You see, those would not be big questions if they were easily solved or if their answers had trite solutions. But gang, if, as we said, those answers are so vital to the lives that we lead, then we have to do the tough work. The tough work it takes to investigate them and get answers. So tonight, question one of life's big questions is this. Is there a God? Another way of putting that, if you want to be more on the college level, what is prime reality? That's what they call that if you go to a college class. Westbridge, this question. This question is the end all of all end alls. It asks, when everything is gone, what's left? Beyond everything that is, what is? The starting point of everything is what? And when it comes to reality and being, what is that base thing? What is the prime thing? To put it simply, is there a God out there? Now, gang, the answer to this question, as with the answer to all of life's big questions, is going to involve faith. It's going to involve faith. Not blind faith, though, but faith in evidence, not proofs. You see, each of us will make decisions and act on them through faith, based on the evidence we have before us. Now, don't let that freak you out, because you'll recognize faith. We all live by faith every day of our lives. The workman who does a job having faith that he will be paid, because the boss has always paid everyone before, works by faith. We eat food at a restaurant expecting not to get sick, because we have faith that the workers will be clean and that the food will be unspoiled. We have faith that the person at the red light perpendicular to our stop is going to stop, because those are the rules that we have faith in, that they know them and they'll obey them. Now, when it comes to life's big question, is there a God? We have to look at the evidence and place faith in the conclusion of the evidence. Now, there is a lot of compelling evidence for this question, too much for tonight. What tips the scales for some people may not be the same piece of evidence that tips the scales for someone else, but tonight I would like to offer you two pieces of evidence that try to answer the question, is there a God? We're going to look at two pieces of evidence tonight. The first piece of evidence is intelligent design. And the second piece of evidence is the moral conscience. I'll explain those to you. First, let's look at intelligent design. Now, this is the rougher of the two to get through, but we'll get through it. See, intelligent design does this. It recognizes that our universe, that our world, our living beings have been crafted intelligently. They have been created systematically and assembled through careful, structured design. Basically, what intelligent design does is it states that the complex universe that we live in and all its inhabitants could not possibly have evolved by blind chance. Instead, everything had to be put together, and everything had a thought behind it. We're going to talk science for a couple minutes. This is not my genre, but we're going to do it. Up until DNA was discovered, it was generally thought that living cells were made of something called protoplasm. Protoplasm, that's just a name given to like a jello-like substance that seemed to be what cells were made of. Well, today, we know that a single cell is not the product of a mixture of chemicals that are just reacting with each other. Even the very smallest cell is filled with exquisitely precise molecular machinery, highly complex and interdependent, relying on one another. So much to that extent that in most cases, that if one machine in the cell were to stop functioning, the cell would die. How did these machines come into existence? They must be built systematically and structured intelligently. That's what the DNA does. The cell's DNA specifies the construction, the actual put together of that particular machinery. A transfer of information has to take place inside the DNA. A lot of information, all to assure that proper sequencing, one after another, takes place intelligently to make the machine be and do what it is supposed to be and do. Now, I know that's a lot of heady stuff, but that's where science is looking. And in looking there, they are concluding that something intelligent has to be behind DNA. I'm going to make it a little easier for you because this made it a little easier for me. Everything we talked about with DNA and what it does, had to come from somewhere. So, we know that. Had to come from somewhere. Did it come from chance? Was it just put together by chance and happen on its own? Did it come from nothingness or from some greater being, a God designer? Well, they figured out the probabilities of it happening from nothing. They figured out the probability of it happening from nothing. The probability of DNA not having an intelligent designer is this: 10 to the 65th power. That's the probability. 1 in 10 to the 65th power, 1 in a chance that it happened by chance. Now, do you know what that number is? Let me tell you what that number is, the chance is there. 10 to the 65th power approximates the same number of atoms that can be found in the Milky Way. That's 1 in the number of atoms in the Milky Way. Those are the chances. Now remember, a single bacteria cell, which would have to be magnified over a million times to even be visible to us, contains over 1 billion atoms. Gang, there is a limit when it comes to probabilities that they could actually happen in our universe. 10 to the 65th power is one of those. Let me prove it to you. I will show you something with better odds of happening. Show you something with better odds than happening to that. Here's what it is. Take a Home Depot store. This has better odds of this happening than DNA coming from chance. Take a Home Depot store, lift it up into the air 1 mile. Take that Home Depot store and shake it sideways. Turn it sideways. Everything starts falling out of the Home Depot store. Everything, right? Falling 1 mile to the earth. If everything fell out of the earth and it fell perfectly into the exact shape and replica of the Taj Mahal, with all of its coverings, with all of its glass put in place on top of gaskets, if all of that happened, that has a better chance of happening than DNA coming from chance. There is no chance that it came. Gang, there is a limit to probabilities and things actually happening. We need to honestly rule out the idea that life as we know it could have been brought about to where it is today by chance. That's what intelligent design teaches us and shows us. That's the evidence. Second piece of evidence. This one is a lot easier because this one is going to take a lot less science. The evidence is this, that we as people have a sense of moral right and wrong. We do. Where did that come from? How could that be from nothing? Gang, this evidence deals with the question, if everything we know is created by chance and then evolved by coincidence, then how is it that you and I know when we get wronged? And none of us will argue that we can't tell when we've been wronged. So where do these base morals, where do these foundational ethics come from if there was nothing out there to give them to us? You see, gang, morals and ethics come from some type of lawgiver. They must come from an idealist. They have to come from a moral conscience of some sort. And that evidence, gang, points directly to the fact that there has to be some type of supreme being or God that put that in creation. Friends, the answer to life's big question, is there a God? And what is prime reality? Is it God? Is prime reality God? Can only have two possible answers. You can only go one of two directions on this. You have to say, yes, there's a God, or no, there is no God. If you say, I don't know, well, I don't know is really not an answer because it does not look at the evidence. It merely avoids the evidence. Yes, there is a God, or no, there is not a God are the only possible answers. Yes, there's a God, looks at the evidence and places its faith in a being whose intelligence and ability and power is beyond our comprehension almost. Those who look at the evidence and decide there is no God place their faith in, I want to say chance, but I think after we talked about 10 to the 65th power, they place their faith in impossibility. The no voters say the evidence is clear. The world happened by chance is impossible, but I choose to believe that what happened can't possibly happen, but it happened anyway. God knew these questions would come to us. And so, Romans chapter 1, verse 20 through 22. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky on top of Bob's Ridge. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, he's talking about others in the past who didn't follow God, the no voters. Yes, they knew God, but they didn't even worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and their minds became confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools, believing in 10 to the 65th power. So back to life's big question. Is there a God? What is prime reality? I would like to real quick wind the tape forward on this. Wind the tape forward with these two possible answers. We have the yes, there is a God gang and the no, there is not a God gang. Where do these two mindsets lead? Because we said this will shape your life. Where do these two mindsets lead as far as the first question, the purpose of life? Well, the God gang will say this. We must find out what God wants and what God desires, and then we move towards that. The there is no God gang, they say the purpose in life is whatever I want. I can do whatever I feel, I can act however I desire, and I live for my wishes alone. There is nothing. That's what we saw in the drama. Life's big questions have quite an impact, and here we're seeing it. Where do these mindsets lead as far as when tragedy hits our life? Well, the God gang, the ones who believe in God, they say, I have a hope. I have a hope in an infinitely powerful God holding my hand, somehow walking me through this horrible situation, and Him protecting me, Him guiding me, and Him comforting me, wanting the best for me. When I don't know why, God does know why, and I have faith in Him. And then there's the no God gang, the ones who don't believe. They believe when tragedy hits, they're on their own. They're suffering due to the whims of chance and coincidence. There's no hope in tragedy outside of what they themselves or maybe a couple others can supply to them. Last piece, where do these mindsets lead us as far as living out and receiving our rights? Well, the God gang, as far as their rights go, they say, well, my rights, since there's a God, my rights are given to me by God. And God determines what my rights are. Everyone has the same God-designed playing field, and the same God determines each of our rights on his side. For instance, God has told us in the Bible, here's a right. He says, the Bible says we are to obey the leaders above us, and that we are to pay the proper taxes. Do you know what the Bible talks about? You know Jesus paid tax? Give unto Caesar what is due Caesar. God designed and ordained rights. We have another God-ordained right to enjoy and share what we have earned. That's a right. That's in the Bible. And these are where you find, and this is how you live out and receive your rights. If you're a God follower, God believer, then that's where you get that. Now, how about the living out and receiving your rights for the no God gang? Well, if there is no God, then each person can do whatever they think is right in their own eyes. They demand that everyone else leave them alone and simply accept, and everyone else must abide by each person's personally determined rights. But here's where the rub comes in. As with all of us, our lives sometimes overlap. The person who determines that it's right for their dog to use any yard in the neighborhood to do his business might find that someone else doesn't have the same faith in that type of a right. The person who holds that it's right that marriage can be between anything and anyone, doesn't matter, well, that's going to conflict with people who hold the truth that no, marriage is between a man and a woman. It can be a big problem. I think you get the drift on this. Gang, we looked at just the first of life's big questions tonight. And I think we're seeing that how we answer life's big questions will make a world of difference with how our lives are lived out and how we experience life. Tonight, ask the question, is there a God? My big question to you is this. Have you answered that? Have you answered that in your heart? Is there a God or not? I'll let you know that I have. A lot of people who come to Westbridge have. I know I've been getting to know that God better and better and better over the last 49 years. And as we take this journey in this series, I pray that you will get to know Him better too. So I'm going to ask the band to come back and share with us. And a lot of us here, like I said, have made the decision when it comes to life, big question, is there a God? Yes. We go right back to that Romans 1 passage where Paul wrote, for ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see His invisible qualities, His eternal power, and His divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God.
I'll ask you to go on this journey with us as we go through life's big questions. And now, celebrate with us as we can let you know we have seen that there is a God. We have seen the evidence of him, and we believe.